For many Americans, retirement comes with a lot of anxiety, especially, where should I live? Well, some communities are ditching the golf and gated neighborhoods model and instead innovating by mixing generations, say elderly residents cooking with 20-somethings, or retirees helping young students with homework, or your next-door neighbor providing much-needed childcare. Eleanor Lace has reported on these intergenerational communities for MarketWatch, and she joins us now. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi.
So tell me about this community, Treehouse, in Western Massachusetts. You wrote about it. Tell us a bit more about who lives there and what they do.
Well, the idea here is to really intentionally weave together the lives of older and younger residents. Treehouse in East Hampton, Massachusetts, has about 60 homes for older adults and families who have adopted children out of foster care. It's built along a horseshoe-shaped street, so residents have dozens of neighbors within a few minutes' walk of their home. Mm. There's a community garden, playground, and the residents there really seem to thrive off of all the interaction they get with their neighbors of all ages.
Did you get to talk to many residents about what they like, about what they might not like about this? I mean, they're living pretty close together for America, yeah?
They are, and these homes are built quite close together, so definitely not your suburban vision of sprawling lawns, but they really love the give and take. And a resident who had a serious months-long illness just got an outpouring of support from many of her neighbors there. Another resident who unexpectedly had a couple of young grandchildren come to live with her, again, just got so much support through that transition. And she says those grandchildren just found a whole new family through that community.
Now, generations living together is, of course, nothing new, right, in this country or any other. I'm thinking large extended families. But there are a lot more Americans who are solo aging, I think is the term, right? I mean, that's a growing slice of our demographic pie.
Absolutely. It's really interesting. The Census Bureau last year released a first-of-its-kind report finding that nearly 17% of adults 55 and older don't have any children, and that number is expected to increase over time. At the same time, we've reached an unprecedented level of age diversity in America, where we have the population roughly evenly distributed across ages from birth through the mid-70s. And that's a huge change from the turn of the 20th century, when 44% of the U.S. population was under 20 and only 6% was over 60. So the organizers of these communities are saying, let's let society benefit from this increasing age diversity and build some housing that really reflects our demographic realities.
Well, and as you're saying, right, there are going to be a lot more elderly people as a percentage of the population than before. So maybe it's important to try to kind of rethink the model and see what happens. Does it seem like there is a lot of interest in this from residents, potential residents? I mean, surely the pandemic has taught us all about the cost of being separated.
For the existing communities, there typically is a pretty long wait list. And during the pandemic, we've seen that isolation has been absolutely devastating, not just for the older adults living in retirement communities, but also younger people who were stuck in their rooms taking classes on Zoom. And COVID, of course, took an especially harsh toll on residents of long-term care facilities. So it would not be surprising to see that as more of these intergenerational communities are built, there is tremendous demand for them.
And if the demand continues, are there challenges to growing, to scaling this, whether it's policy challenges or financial challenges?
In some areas, there are policy hurdles that can make life difficult for intergenerational communities. For example, there may be public funding available for senior housing that's not so accessible once you throw a bunch of younger residents into the mix. And so some of the community leaders say they would like to see funding that's not so siloed. California actually passed a law last year that made it a bit easier for intergenerational housing developments to take advantage of tax credits and other incentives, and an affordable housing nonprofit in California told me that after that law passed, they shifted one of their projects from a seniors-only housing proposal to a community that will house older adults alongside 18 to 25-year-olds who have aged out of the foster care system.
Interesting innovation. Eleanor, finally, I don't know how old you are, but at some point we're all going to be asking these questions. Does this model at some level appeal to you?
To me, it sounds ideal. Even now, I would love for my child to have dozens of honorary grandparents living right around the corner. Looking at the intergenerational communities that were up and running during the pandemic, they really managed to maintain that sense of connection during lockdowns. The Treehouse community in East Hampton raised money to make sure that residents had phones and tablets to stay connected.
Oh, wow.
They had a front porch talent show and outdoor socially distanced dances. And one resident told me, I don't think anybody had a chance to feel isolated.
Oh, wow. Who doesn't want a front porch talent show, right?
Exactly.
Eleanor Lace has been writing about intergenerational communities for Market Watch. Thanks so much, Eleanor, for joining us. Great piece.
Thanks so much for having me.